I'm Morgan Springer from Next and the New England News Collaborative. When we talk about racial segregation, some of us think back to history when overtly racist laws were on the books. But our first guest argues that local zoning rules today, here in New England, are perpetuating segregation. Sarah Bronin is a Mexican-American architect, attorney, law professor at the University of Connecticut, and an expert in land use. And she joins us to talk about how zoning can exclude people of color from certain towns and what we should do to change that. Sarah, welcome to Next.
Well, thank you for having me.
So on a basic level, local zoning rules determine where people can live and work. And in a recent op-ed, you wrote that zoning is, quote, one of the most important perpetuators of fundamental inequalities in the country today, unquote. And before we dig into that point, where are people of color being excluded in New England?
Well, you can look at patterns from the census and other sources of information, and it's pretty clear that people of color tend to be excluded from suburbs and from, so in some cases, rural areas where lot sizes are pretty large, housing prices are pretty high, and the schools are pretty good.
And what kinds of laws do this?
Well, in particular, my focus is zoning laws. So as you said, I'm a land use professor. And so what I look at is how the laws impact the choices that people can make for themselves. For instance, if a suburb says, using the minimum lot size example, for every house you build, you have to have 2 or 3 acres of land, automatically that drives up prices and excludes people who can't afford to buy that amount of land. What that does down, you know, as you, the consequence of that is that people who have low incomes are concentrated in the cities, and the deconcentration of poverty has many additional consequences.
So the impacts extend beyond housing, right? It's limiting other opportunities as well.
Right. It extends to people's ability to access a good education. It extends to people's ability to maybe get more breathing room, more light and air, more trees, different change of scenery from our cities. And it also impacts their ability to access jobs. I'm not trying to say that cities in New England are not good places to live. In fact, you know, cities across New England have been improving and have been adding services and have been focusing on their parks and have been focusing on their school systems. Hartford is one of those. But at the same time, for me, the biggest problem is constraining choice and constraining people's ability to have that choice.
You also wrote that zoning laws segregate people under the, quote, rationale of preserving property values and maintaining orderly development. You say in the law, the concept of orderliness is a thinly veiled euphemism often used to exclude Black and brown people, unquote. You live in Hartford, Connecticut. How do you see this playing out where you live?
Well, so one of the things that we've been hearing as we've started to gather people together in Connecticut to talk about this issue is that towns want to maintain a sense of their, quote, character. And in fact, in our laws here in Connecticut, and I'm sure in other states in New England, we have this word character, and we have this phrase orderly development. And those are two things that suburbs, small towns sometimes hang on to say, well, we can't have anything that's different than what we have today.
And so if the key or one of the big keys is to make it easier to have affordable housing units in towns and suburbs, how should zoning laws change?
Right. So different states have taken different approaches to this question, because inherently local governments derive their powers from the states and what the powers that the states give them. So one option to change what we do today is to amend those state laws to give towns more guidance as to what they should and should not be permitting. For example, a state might say, you can't prohibit multifamily housing. Or it might say, only a certain percentage of the land can be required to have minimum residential lot sizes. Or it might say, like New Jersey does, every community has to provide its fair share of housing.
As you're advocating for these changes, what are the barriers you see to achieving reforms?
It's always difficult to change the status quo. There are a lot of interests in the system as it is today, whether you're here in Connecticut or in Vermont or in New Hampshire, people are always reluctant to change. And so I think that the biggest barrier is really just that, you know, the inherent reluctance to change that we have as people.
So I'm wondering, do you see an irony in the fact that in a number of white, affluent suburban towns in Connecticut, people have marched in support of Black Lives Matter, and yet these are the places where zoning ordinances have, in effect, largely excluded Black people from living there?
I see this moment as an opportunity. I think that people's minds are changing about their own choices and their own communities and how open they are to others. And I think that the time to consider these changes is now, because I really do think that we have a moment, a political moment, to rethink some of the structures that organize our society.
Are zoning reforms a test to see if these white protesters are truly allies?
I think, again, it's an opportunity for everyone who has marched in support of Black Lives Matter to consider how they can be a part of the solution. It doesn't help our society as a whole if we oppress or undermine opportunities for any particular group. And I think the solidarity that we've seen is a testament to that. So I wouldn't call it a test. I would call it an opportunity. I think there's a lot of really good people, and they just haven't around. And I think many of them just haven't realized the way that the law is structured really affects the issue that they care about right here and now.
Sarah Bronin is a land use expert and law professor at the University of Connecticut. Thank you so much for talking to me.
Thank you for having me.
Listen to Next on NPR One or wherever you get your podcasts.